This is 105 Breakfast. Cambridge 105.
7 minutes past eight. Very good morning. It's Cambridge 105. Lottie and Neil with you on Breakfast through till 9:30. And that's the new single from Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. I know you really like it and it is really good, but it is very repetitive. Although that's kind of like the 80s, isn't it?
You say that, you say it once. Yeah, you really got to watch it. Okay, so one or two people coming up with the correct answer. A couple of people getting it wrong on Spot the Mini Hot Dog for today. This is your
is
track
that
for
what it is, Spot the Mini Hot Dog?
Apparently so. This is your one
the
for 8:45.
The Dust Hill
Station. There you go, that's all you get. One more time.
I forgot what it is. I hate it, don't I? It's that one.
Yeah, you do hate it. Yeah. There you go. If you know what it is, you can text, you can message, you can email in 07919 070490 or breakfast at cambridge105.fm. That's the track we're going to be playing at 8:45 right now. Okay, it's like Piccadilly Circus in here this morning, isn't it?
There's so much body warmth.
Yes.
I'm hot.
I'll open the windows in a minute. So we're joined in the studio this morning by Christine. Christine, good morning to you.
Hello.
Hang on, I'm going to put your microphone on now. That was, try again.
Hello.
And we've also got Helena and we've got Max. And and you're all from...
Hey.
And you're all from Cambridge.
Yep.
Apart from Max is from Sawston.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a bit of a journey in.
On the bike is quite a while, yeah.
You didn't cycle.
Yeah, all the way from Sawston. Keeps me fit. So it's all good.
It's just going to set a precedent that no one else is going to want to follow you on, fam. Right, no, we're not going to want to do it. But you're all members of the Sky Blue Theatre Company, and Christine, you're the co-director.
Of the musical that we are doing at the moment. But I'm also technical manager of Sky Blue Theatre Company. We're a company that started in 2007, and we're based in and around Cambridgeshire and in London. And we basically employ actors to put on shows, to do workshops in schools, to do interactive theatre and lots of different things like that. But this year we're hoping to collaborate with Macmillan Cancer Support and the sixth forms around Cambridgeshire to create a new musical called Real Love.
My goodness, forgive me, but you all seem quite young. And yet sounds to me like you've got quite a backstory goes with all of you. How did you all start out? How did the company come about?
Well, it came about a little while ago. It's actually a family company. My mother is the producer and my older brother is the director of the company.
Right.
And it was started, actually, as a way to keep him in the country. He kept jetting off to Australia and different places. So Mum said, right, we're starting a theatre company. So
amazing.
You're going to stay right here. But since then, it's progressed to put on many different productions in and around Cambridge, London, up at the Edinburgh Fringe, Brighton Fringe, and to become quite successful.
And is there like a core of you? How does it work?
Well, Max and Helena, they are students that are going to be in our summer musical.
Right.
And then it is just pretty much the three of us, my mum, my brother and me, who do most of the running.
That's a heck of a lot of organising. So what sort of stuff have you done in the past? And is this the same or different this time around?
I'd say this is probably quite different to what we've done in the past. Recently, we've done something called the International Play Competition, where writers from all up and down the country and around the world, in fact, write in their new plays. They get judged and then we put on the best few of them. And the best one out of that will get published and put on in other places.
Wow.
That's one thing we do. And we do a lot of Shakespeare workshops in schools to teach the kids about William Shakespeare and about all of his productions, Midsummer Night's Dream and Romeo and Juliet and whatnot.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my son's just been in a production of As You Like It. He's in year 11 at Comberton Village College. And just a group of them. Yeah, it's like, hang on a minute, this isn't anything to do with like your drama course. No, this is just us, Dad. You know? And a group of them have just knocked out As You Like It. And I've got to say, they had a really interesting take on it. Do you do that? Do you kind of take Shakespeare and sort of modernise it a little bit, but use the same script?
Yeah, totally. I mean, a lot of the time when we do the work, workshops, we'll go into the school and actually use the children in the school to do the production with them and talk them through it. So yeah, we do have to change a lot of the language, but we also try and teach them the important quotes. And
exactly so. I mean, the guy does. Lottie, you're a drama student, aren't you? So you know all about all this thing as an expert. You've gone pretty quiet, haven't you?
I like Chekhov.
Did you? All right. You're going to buck out on the Shakespeare, are you, if I start quoting? But they did. There was one particular piece. There's a scene in As You Like It, which is like the Seven Seasons of Man. And how you start. And that bit, the lad who stood up and did it, it was delivered perfectly. Absolutely. And it just seemed, when I did Shakespeare, I don't know, maybe they just didn't explain the language, but so is it true?
You get quite complicated at times.
It does, doesn't it? And bits of it just doesn't make any sense. You think, what's going on? And my wife did look at me a couple of times as if to go, do you actually know what the story is here? But it was, the tweaking of it, the way you do it, I was following the plot. I thought it was really rather good. And do you find it more fun to do if you do it that way?
Yeah, totally, definitely. But, I mean, even if we do keep the language the way it is and do it classically, I mean, we've got a production at the moment that's going around the different drama festivals of Much Ado About Nothing that we've got with our young DramaWise students aged 14, 15. And they do the play pretty much full with all of its original language, original text. And for me, I totally know what's going on, and other people in the audience do as well. And it surprises me when young people can get so much out of it, such an old play, such an old language.
But at the time, of course, he was contemporary. He was right.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Totally.
It might be old stuff now, but it wasn't then. Tell us, Max and Helen, tell us your stories. Max, you go first. How did you get involved?
Well, this is my first production with Sky Blue, and well, basically, because I went to Sawston Village College, I then came to a sixth form in the middle of Cambridge, Parkside Sixth,
mm-hmm.
And I heard about the production through them, because they give you, because I do a performing arts course, so I'm completely immersed kind of in the stage every day, and they give you loads of opportunities of kind of how to get involved with all different things in and out of college. And yeah, I mean, I've been doing kind of acting for the past kind of 6 or 7 years, doing Shakespeare. And back to what you said, I think it's so important, kind of like, if you understand what you're saying, especially in Shakespeare, it kind of changes the way you say the line.
You're not just trotting out the script because
exactly,
that's what
kind
it
of
says.
Just like pouring it out, not knowing what you're saying. Yeah, and I was, because I do a show normally with a drama group I've been in with Sawston, we do that in February, and then till the following February I don't really have anything to do,
right?
So I was so excited when I
when
heard
this,
about
when this came along,
because I don't know about if there's other actors listening, when you do a show, the period after the show is called the post-show blues.
Yeah,
and you
it's
get really
depressing.
Yeah, I can I know exactly how I stopped doing this show at Christmas for 3 months after about 6 weeks. I really wasn't fun to live with.
No.
I really wasn't. I'm back now.
Yeah,
I know exactly how you feel.
It's so exciting when you do the show, and then when you finish, you're like, oh, that's so, I wish I could carry on. So then when you start something new, you know you're going to get that feeling again, and kind of, it's just already getting you excited.
Yeah, but you got the buzz. I mean, you also, I mean, it's early in the morning, but you all seem very excited. Helena, how about you? What's your story on all this?
Well, I'm not actually acting in the play. I'm the stage, I'm hopefully doing some stage managing.
Right.
Which I've done since I was 13. And I go to Hills, and I remember seeing a poster in the kind of drama department when I was doing another show,
mm-hmm.
and kind of thinking, yeah, that sounds good. And I think I emailed in about 5 times. I was a little bit stalkery, I'm not going to lie.
Enthusiastic.
Keen, I think. And so, yeah, they emailed back, and so I'm part of the stage management, hopefully a bit of construction as well, because I like electric drills.
Presumably things like that, though. You've got to watch your budget, haven't you? You can't go mad.
Yes. I'm not too sure about the budget at the moment. That's more Christine's thing.
Oh, well, our budget is very, very strict, as we are raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we're trying to keep all our costs as low as possible to make as much money for them as possible.
Being honest, that's quite fun, though, at times.
Yeah.
Of having to produce and create these huge structures and these wacky things from like literally nothing. That's part of the fun of theatre. Because if you have a huge budget, then you can basically just order stuff in.
Yeah.
And you don't have to really use your creativity. And so it's almost more fun having it on a smaller budget, although it gets more stressful.
That's so true, though. Some of my greatest memories at uni doing a drama degree was walking around the local high streets and going, like, walking. I remember walking around with half a mannequin, a naked mannequin, in a plastic bag. You have to go to charity shops, and they're like, here, just have this, please, take it away from us.
I've dug through dumps before.
Yeah.
Don't encourage her. Please don't encourage her. She'll do it.
Little Shop of Horrors, about 4 years ago, I found the dump. It was brilliant. It was a proper big dentist chair. I was so proud.
Well done, you.
See, it's more fun, isn't it?
It's
like
so
you
much
said.
More fun. At the time, you're swearing and like cursing. Like, I don't want to do this, but yeah.
Okay, and you're looking for some help. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break for the travel news, and we'll find out, because there's people, we're talking, we need hands on stage,
yeah,
and things,
totally,
don't we?
Yeah, totally. Massive team effort.
24 minutes past 8, Cambridge 105, Breakfast with Neil and Lottie, playing Erasure and Drama. See, do you see how I did that? It's almost like a link, wasn't
it? Tell everyone what you actually went to do, though.
What?
What did you try and play for our lovely theatre friends?
What was I going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a pretty bad
really
track,
memory
wasn't
gone,
it?
Is it?
Yeah, as, what oh, was dear. It called?
I have no idea. I don't even listen to.
Exactly. Bad acting or something it was called, wasn't it? I don't know. Christine, Helena and Max are with us in the studio today. They're from the Sky Blue Theatre Company here in Cambridge. And a big event coming up at the Cambridge Junction, is that right?
There is. In fact, we are doing two performances, also at the Robinson Theatre, of Real Love the Musical, which is written by John Collings, the music by Darren Hughes, and all in aid of Macmillan Cancer Support.
Okay, so this is an all-round good cause then.
Totally, yeah. We're trying to incorporate as many sixth form students as we can to do every aspect that there will be.
So we're talking not just performing, we're talking...
Stage management,
oh, your hand went straight up, didn't it? You're like
management.
A team of helpers, do you?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so what sort of... talk to specifically what do you need and what sort of age groups are we looking at?
We're looking at specifically young people of sixth form age from the Cambridgeshire area, and we're looking for actors, singers, dancers, lighting, sound, stage management, musicians for the bands to be able to play the music, and anything else you can think of, we'll probably need you.
Okay, but this isn't a training course, is it? So people do need to be skilled in what they're doing. So, are you happy to have someone who says, oh yeah, I can use a power drill?
Well, you definitely need to be enthusiastic and keen and motivated and ideally be interested in drama.
Because you ain't going to get paid.
No, right. No.
You never get paid. Exactly. Paying is like a dream.
Tell us about it. It happens here. Okay, so when's this going to be on and when do you need people from? How's this going to work? What sort of hours are people going to have to commit to and this sort of thing?
We're having quite an intense rehearsal period, just 2 weeks before our performance.
Okay.
And that will be from... 5 until 7 at the Junction. 5:30 until 9, in fact, at Anglia Ruskin University.
Right.
For 2 weeks in June.
Every day.
It's the first 2 weeks of June before the production in the, towards the end of June. Yeah, and I think it's going to be much better to have that kind of intense rehearsal period because when you do kind of one rehearsal a week, you may forget what you've done the previous week. So I think, and plus this kind of, you're kind of fully immersed in it then, and you have a really kind of
bond
intense, yeah, and
of,
you get very close to people quite quickly.
We're going to get so
quickly.
Sick of each other.
Yeah, but it's good fun, but it's a real experience, isn't it? It is real. Yeah. If you all enjoy it, it's something you'll carry with you for the rest of your lives.
And I think it's quite... we'd love for as many people to get kind of involved, because I think it's so much easier to put on a production, especially from kind of... technically and from the stage management point of view.
It's so much easier when there's just people there that are enthusiastic.
And it's better to have spare people than not enough.
Sure.
So, if you have
I was going to say, you'll always fit people in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's always
a job to do.
Okay. Are all the major roles taken? Those are sorted? Are you really looking for
We haven't actually cast anything yet. We're having our second first meeting on Saturday the 11th of May. At the Junction, and then we'll be holding our first auditions on the 12th of May again at the Junction.
That first meeting's 5 p.m. till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So if you fancy coming along,
just turn up.
We're welcomed with open arms.
We're actually really nice people.
They are. They really
are.
And you're so flippin' enthusiastic at this time of the morning. It's amazing.
So awake.
I know.
Aren't they?
Oh. Setting a bad example for us.
I'm the only actor here, so.
That's true.
So they must be telling the truth.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, if people want to find out more, how can they get in touch with you, I guess?
Very easily indeed. All you need to do is send us an email at musical@skybluetheatre.com if you want to join us, or alternatively, just go to our website, which again is skybluetheatre.com.
Fantastic.
Or Google us, easy peasy. But if you can't get in touch and you'd like to come along to our second verse meeting, then just turn up. That'll be at
Anglia Ruskin.
Anglia Ruskin University.
So that's on East Road?
Yeah, that is on East Road. Or, as well, add us on Facebook. All of our information is on there about our meetings. Just facebook.com/reallovethemusical.
Yeah, we're on top of the technology. We're impressed.
You can come around here and do my tweeting for me.
But we're looking for all enthusiastic young people of sixth form age to take part in anything and everything. Please do get in touch with us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, but this one is specifically in aid of Macmillan, but there's other stuff going on as well.
Yeah, totally. Just check out our website, skyblue.com.
So if you can't make it in June, there's other stuff coming up and you might be able to get involved in that. Listen, thanks ever so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great day. Hope it all goes well. If you're out there travelling around again, do you know what? I can't write down Sky Blue Theatre. Just send us a text here at the radio station or send us an email, breakfast@cambridge105.fm, and we'll put you in touch with the lads and lasses, with Max and Christine and Helena. Sorry, beg your pardon. Helena.
That's fine.
God, yes. We have Sarahs and Sarahs here. I'll never get those right. So well done. Good luck with it all. Thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you very much.
7 minutes past eight. 105 Breakfast with Lottie and Neil. One of these days you're going to do the back announcing.
Morning, everyone. It's 6 minutes past eight. Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Neil and Lottie.
That sticks in your throat every time you say it, doesn't it?
Lottie just sounds better first.
No, it just really
it does.
Doesn't.
It's so used to being first. It's not. It's always last.
There we go. That was Huey Lewis in the news. Do you believe in love? That was for Nick, who says, don't worry, Neil. She's always slagging off my music choices as well. She's
Nick,
very hard to
I
please.
I love that. That's good.
You did you?
I did.
And we've got to say a very good morning to Lauren Secker.
Morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Lauren. Mum's been on. She said, morning, Neil and Lottie. After 8 o'clock, because she'll be downstairs then, could you please play Driving in My Car by Madness for Lauren? Yesterday, she took her first driving test and passed. And Pete and I are so proud of her. She took her car out on her own last night, and of course, I sat biting my nails until she was home. Proud mum and dad moment for sure. Really is. I remember. Do you remember the first time you ever went out and drove your car?
Yeah, I got my mum to follow me.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I just only did left turns.
What? You just go round in a circle?
I chose a circular route that meant I didn't have to do a right turn because I really wasn't comfortable with that. Thought I'm not going out in the middle of a road. Yeah, so I went left. I'm back home. There we go. No,
pretty much like you're driving now, really.
Yeah, along those lines. So well done, Lauren. Really proud of you. Well done.
Well
That's
done,
excellent
Lauren.
Stuff.
First okay. time as well.
Can we still have the car marked, though? I mean, could you just drive around in like a bright purple one with
Lots
a flag on the top?
So say people say that you shouldn't have the P on your car.
Yeah, because it makes everybody nervous, basically.
Yeah. I didn't have a P on my car, did you?
I mean, I didn't have the L's on either on mine. So there we are. Anyway, so...
Yay, our guest has the same sense of humour as me.
She does. We're joined in the studio. Actually, we'll have Driving in My Car by Madness coming
of
up very shortly.
Of course we will.
But first off, we're joined in the studio this morning by Vicky Lacey. Vicky, welcome along. You've been to Cambridge 105 before.
I have, just last week.
So you're kind of used to this whole idea.
Sort of.
Now, you're the co-founder of the Cambridge Sustainability Centre.
I am, with my husband, Simon.
Tell us about that. How did it all get started? Whereabouts are you?
Well, so we live on an organic farm in Cottenham, which is just north of Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And we've always been really passionate about environmental issues and trying to live more sustainably. And we thought, while we're learning about how we can live more sustainably, why not help other people to do the same? So we started organising courses on the farm. It's a really great venue for courses. We've got a fantastic orchard that we run the courses in. And we just sort of set up a temporary camp. People join us for a weekend. We get a teacher in to teach us about something, like either ecological design principles or composting toilets or kind of different ways of growing food. So there's systems like forest gardening where you can grow food in a kind of food forest.
Oh, wow.
And those kind of topics. Yeah, it's been really great so far.
When you first set up the farm, did you come in with a whole load of training and ideas and stuff, or have you had to sort of develop as you went along?
It's been a bit of a develop as we go along. So it's my parents' farm, and they've only been there for 10 years. I haven't sort of grown up as a farmer. So my dad has been learning organic farming since he's been there. We converted the farm to organic. And so, yeah, it's been something that's kind of evolved. And we just did one course in 2010. That's when we first started doing it. And then the whole idea of setting up the Sustainability Centre came along, and we've tried to sort of add more in. And this year we're trying to do lots of volunteer days as well and get people onto the farm to get stuck into some projects that we're doing.
No, sorry, go on.
Everyone always, like if you go to the supermarket or something, you'll say, yes, organic, that's good. For anyone who doesn't know, what actually is organic?
Yeah, well, in organic agriculture, you don't use any pesticides. And if you've got animals, then you don't routinely use antibiotics. So you treat them if they're sick. You don't treat them as a matter of course. And you use different methods that are that work with nature rather than against it, basically. So it's not just about producing healthy food. It's actually about looking after the environment, which is really important. So people might have heard this week about banning the use of neonicotinoids, which are really harmful to bees.
Yeah.
So that's a big win for the organic movement, because bees are really, really important pollinators.
Well, this sort of comes... I mean, they've been talking for the past few years, haven't they, about, the bee numbers are down. The bee numbers are down. And then suddenly it's dawned on someone that there's this highly toxic thing they've been spraying around everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bit disappointing that the UK government didn't vote against against them. But anyway, at least they're banned for now. So
when you first set up an organic farm, there's quite a lot of preparation has to go. Doesn't the soil have to all have been approved as having no... You know, you have to let it sort of drain out or whatever, don't you?
Yeah, it takes 3 years to convert a conventional farm to organic standards. And then you've got all sorts of things like livestock have to be born on the farm to while it's been certified organic to actually be organic. So you go through this conversion period where you might have animals that you've treated as organic, but because you know you bought them from another conventional farm and they were on the farm before it was organic, they can't technically be organic, that kind of thing.
Neat.
So it's very strict, but I mean that's for good reason, and we have inspections and all of that kind of thing as well.
How is it? Sorry, I'll get my teeth in a minute. What I'm trying to get across was how much land do you need in comparison to what I would call a conventional farm, where there's more intensive farming methods? Is it when you say sustainable? How big an area do you need to sustain what sort of population?
Oh, that's a bit technical for me. I'm not actually the farmer. I'm the farmer's daughter. Oh,
okay. Okay. Sorry. It occurred to me that if everyone did it, we'd probably run out of land. Because it is much less intensive farming, isn't it?
So. I think that's a point that could be argued, because there are all sorts of... innovations in organic farm. It's not like going back in time and farming like we did in the olden days. You're using the best of modern knowledge and techniques, and you're just not going for the chemicals.
Excellent. So you can probably get same sort of crop yields and these sorts of things, and so I guess you could. Yeah,
I don't know the technicalities of it, but there are debates about, you know, can you feed the world with organic agriculture? And I think if you use different methods, so we're talking about that kind of forest gardening system, it's about stacking different levels of food. So rather than just growing what we'd call a monoculture of one crop in a field, you might be able to grow several, which means that you're getting more food off one piece of land than you could if you were just growing wheat, say.
So wheat amongst your apple trees sort of thing.
Yes, that's
with you.
What I do.
Okay, so you're getting children involved on the farm. That, I guess, is probably we're trying to educate the next generation. Is that the
so this is the thing we're really, really excited about this year, because it's the first time that we're going to have kids on the farm overnight. So we have had children visiting the farm under various kind of farming schemes, from food to fork, that kind of thing. And that's always been really fun. But this is a more kind of in-depth earth education visit that we're hosting. So the kids will come and stay with us for 2 days. And during that time, we're hoping to really give them a better understanding of how the world works, and give them an experience of getting close to nature, so that they really make a connection. And that will hopefully lead them on to looking after the planet in the future, basically.
Okay, instead of it just bringing in a porter cabin, shoving it in the corner and saying, oh, we'll stick some bunk beds in there, you've come up with a different idea.
Yeah, so we really want to get hold of a teepee if we can.
Now, we've been arguing about this morning.
Obviously it's a teepee.
Well, I called it a teepee because I said it can't be a teepee because that's not how it's spelled.
Maybe you should go on one of these courses.
Maybe I should. So we are talking like a traditional Indian teepee.
Yeah, Native American teepee, I think, is the correct nomenclature.
I'll be very quiet and very careful about what we've already had Casey Jones on here this morning. So,
yes, the idea is it's a traditional shelter. It's a way that people have lived close to nature for hundreds of years. And we just want to give the kids an experience that they will really remember so that they can connect it with the learning that they'll get while they're on the farm. And hopefully it'll be something that when they arrive, they'll be like, wow, you know, and then they'll go away and they won't ever forget that experience.
It sounds really cool. I mean, is this the sort of thing, as I remember them, there were basically three poles with a load of buffalo skin stretched around it and a hole at the top so the smoke can go out. Is that kind of how it works?
Or that would be super traditional.
This one's a bit more conventional.
Yeah, the ones we're looking at are made by a company called Hummingbird Teepees, and they're made all in the UK.
Right.
And they're canvas. They're really beautiful looking. They've got a lot more than three poles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many people can you sleep in these things?
Well, we're hoping that with the kids we can fit 10 in.
Oh my lord, that's going to be one hell of a sleepover, isn't it? What a load of fun.
Yeah, and then we've got a bit more like tent space for the other 10. so we're having about 20.
Sounds really cool.
But yeah, I mean, but the other great thing about this whole idea is that we're hoping that your listeners will be interested in coming and staying in the TP too.
It sounds like a great idea. There's some interesting funding coming up. We'll talk about that in just a second. We've got Vicky Lacey from the Cambridge Sustainability Centre.
22 minutes past eight. Cambridge 105 with Neil and Lottie.
Hey!
Yes!
I got two mentions in one day.
I know. It's all about you, dear.
I'm going to write it in my file of facts.
There we go, Lauren. Madness. Driving in my car.
Well done, Lauren. Excellent stuff.
Congratulations. I'm really impressed. First time and everything. Yeah. Cool.
I just need a little route. I just need to know which sort of places she's likely to be going. So I can go.
She'll be better than you, Neil.
Well, that's probably true.
If anyone's seen Neil's cars, it's got scrapes all over it.
Yeah, my cars do seem to be jinxed, don't they?
Yeah, houses just fly out at you, don't they?
Something along those lines. Well done to Mum as well. She got the 8:45 track right. Well done.
Well done, Sharon.
And a couple of other messages coming in. Dear Lottie and Neil, please can we have Skyfall and Daddy would like some Stone Roses, please. That's the little magnets.
I love you, little magnets.
We'll sort those out for you, girls.
You like.
And Danny would like Jim Reeves. So hang fire, Danny. It's all coming
up. We love you too, Danny. You can have whatever you like.
Meantime, Vicky Lacey is with us. Vicky's from the Cambridge Sustainability Centre out at Cottenham. We've been talking about organic farming and kids' intents. So you've got this teepee that you're after. But it's not a small teepee. It's quite a big teepee. It steeps 10. And
yeah, it's a 16-foot teepee.
That's amazing. Not cheap, one would imagine.
No, so it's going to cost us £1,600.
Okay.
And what we're hoping is that, well, we've got another idea for the teepee. So as well as running these earth education visits, which we're hoping, obviously, after this one that we're doing in May, we'll be able to do more of them. We're also wanting to offer little weekend breaks on the farm. So quite a lot of the people who come on courses and stay in our orchard have said, oh, this is a fantastic place to come and stay. And, you know, friends and family who've camped there are like, oh, this is amazing. It was really, really beautiful in the summer.
I can imagine.
And so we thought what we would do is offer people the chance to come and stay in the teepee for a weekend.
Yeah, me too. That sounds like so much fun.
I'll bring the guitar. I really want to do this.
Or you can come along to a party as well. That's one of the other things we're offering.
Yep.
And then what we're doing is crowdfunding for
right.
that total. And crowdfunding is a really great idea because what it allows you to do is to get the crowd, as it were, behind your idea before you actually go for it.
So sure.
you get to find out whether you've got the right level of support to make something work. And what happens is people can put money towards your funding target. And if you hit your target, then they donate the money and they get a reward for it.
Right.
If you don't hit the target, nobody pays anything.
That sounds like a really great idea.
So we've got a few different rewards that people can pledge towards our funding target for, which is sort of ranging from coming to our teepee warming party in the summer. So we'll be making pizzas in our new clay oven that we've half built at the moment, but it's going really well. Up to spending a whole weekend in the teepee with your friends.
What a cool thing to do. Right.
It sounds like taking all the extra little cool bits from festivals and just having it in your back garden. This is amazing.
If only they had a band playing, like a guitar duo. Exactly.
Not me, you.
Well, it would be really great if anyone who would like to come along to the teepee warming party had some acoustic instruments to bring.
We've got plenty of those. We've got shed loads of bands. They'll all come along. Do you know, we've been looking to do a little mini concert-y thing. This could just be what you were looking for.
We could have a mass outdoor jamming session.
Yes.
Do you know, we could, couldn't we? All right, that's
when
an idea.
When is the teepee warming party?
When?
Do you have a date?
Well, because we don't have the teepee yet and we don't want to sort of
count
our chickens. But, I mean, we're sort of thinking maybe around midsummer would be quite
a nice time. Sounds perfect. Just not the first week in August.
No.
that's not a good week. It's the Cambridge Rock Festival and everyone's a bit busy. All right, so how can people get involved? Because I think there's a load of people listening going to go, do you know what, I'm in. And I mean, there's two of us sitting here by the sound of it.
All you need to do is go to crowdfunder.co.uk and it's really easy to find our project. It's the one with a picture of a teepee. So you can either scroll down the kind of featured projects on the front page and find it that way, or you can even just type in teepee, T-I-P-I.
Yeah, don't do it my way.
Search. Or, you know, there's loads of different ways you can type in environmental into the type of project you're looking for and we'll come up under that as well.
Narrow it down.
And you can also find us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/CamSusCen. So the first three letters of Cambridge Sustainability Centre.
I could catch on.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to say on the radio. But and the same on Twitter. So it's @CamSusCen.
Fantastic. And what's a, is there a cut off point with this?
There is. We've got 30 days to raise this money. But we've been going 2 weeks already, so there's only 14 days left for you to help us get to our target and book your holiday.
Yeah, I was going to say, and do you know what? If we could get all the Cambridge 105 listeners, the regular ones, you know, that would be such a cool weekend, wouldn't it?
It'd be so much fun.
That would be great. Really.
Where are you at the moment? Do you know?
We're about halfway. So I think last night we were on 47% of our funding total.
So
we're doing well, but we need to keep the momentum up.
Wonderful.
And I mean, people can, if you just like the idea, but you maybe don't want to come and stay for a weekend or, you know, that kind of thing, or you can just put £2 in. That'd be brilliant. Just to support the idea, so that we can get these kids up on the farm and teach them about the planet.
That sounds great. I wish I could have done that when I was a child. Sounds brilliant, doesn't it?
No, it's better off now. Believe me, life is better as an adult. You get to play with all the bigger toys. Just trust me. Life is better as that. Vicky, good luck with it. Keep us posted. Thanks very much. And we have a slight problem this morning and our web stream is down. So if you're listening on FM and you know people who normally listen on the web stream, make sure you tell them about this. We will make sure we do. We're going to report on this again tomorrow over the next few days. Because we really want this to happen.
Yeah, what a great project.
It is a great idea. And I think we could have a load. We could get some acoustic musicians around. We want to go. It sounds like the perfect place to do it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
It's lovely. Thank you, Vicky. Is there a website for just you in general?
Yes, the website for Cambridge Sustainability Centre is cambridgesustainability.co.uk.
Okay, excellent. Just Google it again. I guess you're probably the only one that comes up.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, there can't be too many of them. Thank you. It's been a real pleasure to meet you. It sounds like my kids are grown up, but they'd still be up for it. You take 21 and 16-year-olds, they still love to... Yeah, they'd be there.
They can certainly come along to the party. Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea. Vicky, thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
crowdfunder.co.uk. Crowdfunder.co.uk. TP, spelled T-I-P-I. Get it. We've got 2 weeks to go. So we need to get those pledges now, please. Otherwise, we're not going to get our summer holiday, are we?
We need it.
Excellent. All right, it's 29 past 8. Bit of Daft Punk, then we'll do the unsigned chart.
I feel good. Do you feel good?
I do. 7 minutes past eight. It's Cambridge 105 Breakfast with Lottie and Neil. See, you don't do it, do you?
James Brown.
You're driving. You came out the news.
7 minutes past eight. It's breakfast till 9:30 with Neil and Lottie.
Oh, it so sticks in your throat, doesn't it?
Lottie sounds better first. What are you going to do, hey?
Well, listen, we mentioned the Strawberry Fair earlier.
Yes.
And the good news is, all being well, fingers crossed, there is going to be the decider as to whether it's breakfast with Neil and Lottie and breakfast with Lottie and Neil.
I think we all know what's going to happen.
It's sumo suits in the arena.
We had a little warm-up, actually, yesterday after the show. Neil went bright red and fell over. Phil was quite concerned for you.
Yeah, we'll worry about this on the 1st of June, but it's going to be good. Anyway, we're joined in the studio this morning by Becky Moore. Becky, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, you're writing a blog in the Cambridge News.
I am indeed, yes.
That's okay. What's it about, though?
It's about all sorts. All the planning process of a wedding. It's about different ideas for your wedding. And it basically gives advice to all brides and grooms and anyone planning to get married in the next few years.
But I'm right in saying that this is your wedding we're talking about as well. You're blogging about your own wedding.
I am indeed, yeah. It could be risky.
I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got to this point where you suddenly decided, I'll tell you what, whilst I'm organising a wedding, let's throw some extra stress in and I'll write about it as well. How did it come about?
Well, I work as an events manager for a catering company, Flair Catering, in Cambridge. And I set up their website and decided to write a blog about my wedding for other brides to see, because I deal with a lot of brides. I meet with a lot of brides who are getting married in the next year. And I decided to give some advice to them about how I feel the planning process is going for me. And I used to write blogs about food, so I love writing. And at the moment, I live, breathe and sleep weddings. So I thought it would be quite apt to write about that.
And I'm okay to ask you about your wedding.
Yes,
And your partner's name is?
It's Chris.
It's Chris.
Yes.
Morning, Chris. How did he take the whole of the fact that this is all going to be documented, the fact that your plans for your own wedding are going to be written down? Is he okay
well,
with this?
He is okay. I think he likes to read them before they actually get put on the site, just to make sure I haven't made too many digs. But, he's finding it quite fun and nice to read, and obviously it's good for him as well, because he gets to see how the planning process is going from my point of view as well. So,
and are we talking about a huge society wedding or just a fairly low-key affair? What do you have in mind? You're not parachuting into the church.
Yeah, I wish I could, but no. Unfortunately, weddings are very expensive, so there's only so much we can do. We're basically planning it to be a really intimate occasion with all of our close friends and family, with a touch of glamour, of course, because I do work in weddings, so I get to see a lot of decorations, a lot of ideas. So I'm trying to think of some imaginative features for the wedding, and to make it really fun. I think that's the main thing about weddings. Yeah. They should be all about you and your partner and enjoying the day and something that you can remember for forever.
So when you've been involved in all these other weddings, there must have been some that you've seen where you've thought, never in a million years. When they look back at the pictures in years to come, they're going to go, oh my God.
Oh, definitely. I've seen some interesting things. I've seen a cake which was a bit graphic.
Oh.
I've seen a little bit, kind of made me blush a bit. I've seen best man speeches that have been horrendous, a bit drunken and literally a couple of sentences.
So. I'm being best man on Sunday.
Oh no.
Yes. I normally do funerals at my age and I'm doing best man. I was like, don't say that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's the worst thing. This chap has been married before. Sadly, his first wife died. And I keep thinking of him as him and his first wife. And I know I'm going to do it.
Oh, no.
It's like, I have to
don't do that, Neil.
No. Everyone's going to wear T-shirts with her name on it.
I think the best man speech is definitely the most nerve-wracking
part
of the day.
So how did you go about planning your own wedding? Where did you start? Did you have a big piece of paper or have you compartmentalised it?
The first thing we did is we sat down and spoke about budget. I think that's the first thing you have to do. I actually hide all receipts from my fiancé anyway.
Are you hideously over already? Why am I not surprised?
But we tried to talk about basically how much we were going to spend on each part of the day. I think as ridiculous as it may sound, planning every bit, it's very important because you can go way over how much you think you're going to spend. Yeah. So planning a budget is a great start, and actually writing down everything you need to do, because there's so much involved in planning a wedding. It's definitely the biggest event you'll ever plan in your life.
Yeah.
What's the most important bit to you then? Where's the money going? Are you a dress?
Well, the money is actually going on the venue and catering, because we've actually got 90 people in attendance at the wedding, and per head that works out quite expensive.
Yeah.
So basically that's where a lot of the money is going. Unfortunately, a lot of money is going on my dress, because I didn't look at the price tag before I tried it on. So I'm having to budget in other areas.
I love that. I've tried it on. I have to have it. This is the one. It doesn't matter how much it costs.
I know. It was
Since
scary.
When does that come as a surprise to anybody who's got a wife or a girlfriend? Oh, I didn't look at the price. It happened to me at Christmas. We walked into a certain shop just at the head of Rose Crescent in Cambridge, and I saw the dress that we were going to be buying as we walked in. It was patently obvious. Nothing else in the shop was going to be close. 300-odd quid later. Luckily, it was in the sale.
If that's the one, that's the one. It's pretty much the rule then.
It's very difficult once you've set your mind on a dress to kind of think, oh, yeah, maybe I'll get another. It's, you know, you have to feel right in your dress. I think that's important, and be comfortable in it. And obviously that's the dress you're going to wear when you're marrying your husband. So it's, you know, it's a special point of the day.
Yeah.
So how did the process of your blog go? Like, where did dress enter into it? Like, what happened week one? Is that how you're doing it? Sort of a post a week or?
Yeah. I mean, actually, I decided to write about the dress in my last blog entry, because I'm quite nervous about my dress fitting in 2 weeks' time, because unfortunately, I'm the only bride in history, I think, to have put on weight for my wedding. So
she's
I'm
absolutely
actually...
gorgeous. It really does not matter.
No, but and
Chris
obviously...
is sitting there going, put on weight. Well, not sure about that.
I don't know. He's trying to help me at the moment because I keep eating too many chocolates. And I'm going to get basically measured. And the lady in the shop was like, you know, remember, we can only take the dress in. We can't take it out. So. And unfortunately, I'm quite worried that the back of my zip won't go up. But we'll see about that.
It's sure. hard, though.
So it's on the mind at the
well,
moment.
Yeah, but you must be going and trying food and like sampling things. So you're sampling loads of good
We've
food.
We've had two taster sessions with our catering company. So yes, we are definitely having a good feed at the moment.
When you're writing the blog, though, you're getting responses from people, presumably.
I'm getting really positive feedback. I mean, most are from my friends on Facebook who've seen the blog, and my work are right behind me, Flair Catering. They obviously the blog started out on our website, so they're always thrilled to read it each entry. And the Cambridge News said it's growingly popular, which is great.
But are you getting advice coming up? People going, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Oh, yeah. Swans.
I don't know.
Swans is a nightmare. You don't want swans.
I'm getting more, I think, laughs about dress costs, because the average amount that's spent on dress is £1,119, would you believe, which is very expensive. And I actually admit in my blog that I did spend a little bit more than that on my dress. And a lot of people have been quite shocked at that. So I've had a bit of a telling off from people.
How much nowadays, I mean, traditionally it was always the father of the bride who used to stomp up floor. How much of it is going Dutch nowadays?
I think a lot of it. I think there's always new traditions. I mean, it used to be that the speeches were at the end of a meal. People are changing it now to be at the beginning to get it over and done with. Top tables are changing. People aren't having top tables. They're kind of sitting in with their guests. There's many things like people having two best men. I've got two maid of honours, so I'm going against tradition a bit that way. So I think people are walking down the aisle on their own or with their mum or with their brother. So I think I think new changes are good, because it's making your wedding individual and special to you. It's a personal day, so you've got to do something that's right for you and your partner.
Interesting, though, you said you're getting married in a church.
Yes.
Is that because you are both religious, or just you feel that's the...
I felt that it was quite important. I think the marriage is the most important part of a wedding. I think, you know, nowadays there's a lot of divorce and there's a lot of splitting up. Maybe people aren't seeing marriage as important as they should nowadays. And for me, it's the most important part. And I felt that I wanted to really think about my vows and really not rush the process, really find it very important. It was important to me. And the church we're actually getting married in is the church I was christened at. So we've got a bit of a connection with the church, which is why we decided to go there. But yeah, we've got a lovely, lovely vicar marrying us as well. So
that's even better, really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, she's very funny. Lovely.
Oh, Lady Vicar.
Lady Vicar, yes.
Oh, that'll be
enough.
Yeah, I know. All right, Becky Moore is with us. Becky's writing a blog on her own wedding on the Cambridge News website and then the Cambridge News newspaper itself. It's 22 minutes past eight. It's Cambridge 105 with Lottie and Neil through till 9:30. And Becky Moore is here with us. Becky's writing a blog about her own wedding for the Cambridge News. And we've just been talking off air about all the different things. You were saying the biggest thing for you is the day, is the wedding vows and everything else.
Yes, definitely.
So what's the dangers? What's going to slip through the net? What things do you think you've not spotted?
Oh, in the planning process of the wedding? Oh, there's loads of things, I think. Your brain just forgets certain elements of the day that you need to be sorting. We're having to do an order of service for the church, and there's quite a lot to think about with that. And then you forget that you've got to print off the order of services to give out to all of your guests. So that's something that could slip your mind. There's loads of things like getting favours sorted for the tables, just a little giveaway for all your guests. Stupidly, I decided to do cupcakes, and I'm going to make those 2 days before the wedding.
Oh, of course you are, because you'll be, frankly, you'll be killing time
won't you? I'll be really, really bored with nothing to do.
What colour are they going to be? What's your colour scheme?
The colour scheme that we've got is very unusual colour. It's very hard to match. It's a dusky kind of lilac colour, very pale. It looks beige, pink and lilac in different lights, so that's why it's hard to colour match. And then we're having quite a lot of silver elements to the day as well, so probably silver cupcakes would be quite cool.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm going to try and get my bacon cap on and see what I can come up with.
Okay, and Chris has got his list of things to do for the day, has he? Number one, turn up. Number two, that'll be that then.
Is it? Yeah, we've been, I mean, a lot of the tasks we've delegated each other different tasks for the day. He was in charge of obviously getting his suit, not me.
Wow, big responsibility.
See, I know,
for him.
Is, definitely. He hasn't done it yet though. Chris, remember to get your suit this week.
When's the wedding?
The 31st of August.
Oh, so bags of time.
Oh, that's okay.
Bank holiday sales. I'll go out on the Friday. You'll be all right.
Definitely. As long as he wears a suit.
He'll be fine. And when does this go after this? So after the end of August, is it going to be a honeymoon blog, or is that one step too far?
There could be. We're going to Italy on our honeymoon, and my other passion is food. So I might be blogging about all the different pastas and pizzas I'm trying.
Oh, yeah, do that. Do it.
I used to love writing about food and blog writing about food. So perhaps it will go more that way afterwards. Obviously links with my job at Flair Catering, talking about food. And then perhaps, you know, down the line, babies and anniversaries, who knows?
Seriously, you're thinking of blogging about being pregnant? You'll be writing with your head over the toilet if anything like
no
that.
No one will read it, but
it'll be so entertaining. Oh my goodness, she's on fire today. Oh no, she's lovely again.
I'll be blogging as I go to the hospital. I'm giving birth.
Yes.
Yeah, trust me, you'll have your mind on other things.
Yeah, probably.
Well, listen, Becky, good luck with it. If people want to catch up, how far down the line are you? How many blogs have you written, entries have you written so far?
I, pretty new to Cambridge News. I've only just put 3 blog posts up there, but there's one coming next week, and I'll be updating the website with new blog entries once every 2 weeks, so you'll be able to catch them as I go along.
Okay, so that's just the Cambridge News website, which I think is...
Yes, the Cambridge News website, it's the wedding blog, and also on the Flair Catering website, you can find it under weddings.
Okay, Flair Catering's website is...
www.flaircatering.co.uk.
Excellent. Listen, good luck with it. Good luck for the day. Are we wearing hats? How are we doing this?
Yeah, I want to wear a top hat though.
Oh dear God.
Yeah. Yeah, what is the green wearing a hat or anything? I'm all about the
I hope
hats.
Not.
I don't know. No, you don't like that. Oh no, okay,
and a monocle and a cane.
No, don't be ridiculous. Yeah, there's just a nice
young
hat.
There's a nice young lady, don't you know?
As long as he's not wearing a dress, I'll be happy.
Yeah. That's true, that could be worse. Yes.
Excellent. Becky, good luck with it.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much for coming
Thanks
in.
A lot.
And
Thank
good luck
you.
With the blog, and we'll check it out on the Cambridge News website and at flaircatering.co.uk.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
I will.
Have
thank
a fantastic
you.
Hope
you
it all goes well and have a lovely life together, the two of you, you and
oh,
Chris.
Oh, thank you. Thanks
I have
very
a
much.
Small quiz for you because off air we were briefly talking about videos. Videos? This is how old this film is that I'm playing a track from. This film is all about weddings, and I wondered whether you know which film this is from. It's a wedding
oh,
film.
Oh, okay.
It's Elton John, Crocodile Rock.
Oh, blimey.
No?
Well, I'm going to say 4 weddings and a funeral.
It is 4 weddings
and a funeral. Because it's the only film I know.
Have a lovely
I did know
wedding.
That.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Bye.
7 minutes past 8. Cambridge 105 with Neil and Lottie through to Yay. Half past 9 before the starving Claire turns up.
Yeah, poor old Claire. We have saved her 1 hot cross bun.
We have, and we're going to sell it to her for a penny. Daddy Magnet says, for Fred's house, CD, please.
Yeah, you're on the list. Yeah.
And Rob says, can't remember if I'm down for Fred's house yet or not. Yes, please, if not. Rob, you're down. That's all good. It's wonderful.
Good.
We're very lucky, because not only is she absolutely blooming gorgeous, but she has an amazing set of pipes on her. Even though she...
Careful how you say that. If I said that, I'd get smacked.
Yeah, I know, but that's you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Vicky.
Well, you need to turn the
from
microphone
Fred's
on.
House.
Morning, Vicky.
Good morning.
How you doing? All right.
I'm all right, thank you.
You're not, are you? Really?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm fine. Apart from that.
Hang on, Lottie's going to do her technical training. That's the one. Give it a good old twist to the right, dear.
I have.
No, again.
Oh.
No more. That's it. I think we can almost hear Vicky now.
Can you hear me?
We can now. Listen, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
You're suffering because you've been so busy.
Yeah. Apparently, I've got a virus.
Oh, great.
So don't come too
oh,
close.
Oh, no. I thought you just had a cold.
I'll sit and I'll be your barrier, Lottie. It's okay. So you can sit. I'll sit between the two of you. You'll be fine, dear. I'll take it.
It's all right. As long as you're not like Neil, who spits over everyone.
Cheers for that.
No, thank you.
I'll keep my distance.
Yeah, I would.
Pretty meteoric rise for Fred's house lately. Things seem to be going very, 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 very well for you. Or has that just jinxed everything?
Yes. Touch wood, quickly. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose when you've got something to promote, you know, like a single, then you've got something to talk about, haven't you? And something that interests people. So
how did it all
start?
It's
been really good for that.
How did you all get together?
It's about 2.5 years ago now. Griff, the other singer in the band, is my fella. So
he's your man.
We met and we started writing songs together. And Gavin, the bassist, is his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we were living in London at the time and we just started writing a few songs, just the two of us. And then we thought we'd do some recordings just as we got offered a job to do covers for 6 months in Portugal. So we asked Gavin, Griff's brother, if he would come and play on the recordings. But we just wanted to do them before, you know, before we went off, offer those 6 months. So, yeah, so it was at that point he said, well, I'm in a band in Cambridge, but they're kind of not really... doing much at the moment, so I'll bring the rest of the boys and then we played and all together for a weekend in a recording studio and said, actually, this was really, really good, but we've got to go off for a while. Don't go anywhere and let's do something when we get back. So that was November 2010 we got back and then we just cracked on, really.
And so they weren't Fred's house before you got them, so you became Fred's house.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
We moved from London to Cambridge basically to be in a band with some people that we didn't really know. Apart from Griff's brother, of course.
Sounds about the way to do it. So where did the name Fred's House come from? Everyone's asking.
It's the guy who we recorded with. He was called Fred. And
it's no more imaginative than that.
So, yeah, we were at his house recording.
That's brilliant. It works.
Thanks.
So you've got an album out at the moment. How much recording have you done? You met in a recording studio, but how much recording, how much live work have you done?
We've, well, our first recordings was basically a demo that we were putting together because it's a funny thing. People say you shouldn't record until you've had some, you know, gigging experience because, you know, it takes that time to gel all together and to refine the songs and all this kind of thing. And you find out what works in front of a live audience. However, without recordings, you can't get gigs.
No.
So we, you know, we basically put these things together. They were just songs that Griff and I had written, really. And Lachlan, our lead guitarist, had written a couple as well. So we kind of learnt them, did arrangements of them, went into the studio, and that was it, really. So that was the first one. That was May 2011. We got that one out. And then we thought, right, we better start doing this properly now. We were gigging and stuff. So that's when we started recording Looking Glass, which we released a year later in April 2012.
Did you, when you first started gigging, were you playing to empty rooms? Is that how it always works? Or did word about you? Yeah, did word, how quickly did word spread about you?
I don't know. It was, I think the breakthrough moment for us was we sort of did a few gigs in November time, a few more sort of January, February, but they were kind of in pubs, you know, like you say. We did our best to, we put some posters up around town and that kind of thing, but you know, obviously it was 20 people in the Haymakers back then. You know, so we did a few gigs like that. And then we applied for Springfest, which is basically the same people that run Cambridge Rock Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they got back to us and said, yeah, you can come and do a slot, you know, you're local and stuff. And so we went up there. I think we were supposed to play at like 11 o'clock in the morning in this hall up in Haddenham. And it wasn't packed out at that time in the morning, but, you know, and actually, because we did have a drummer when we started, he decided he was going to go off travelling for sort of 2 months. So that's how we ended up with the setup that we've got now, where Gavin went, well, I'll do some sort of percussion.
He works really well. I can't believe how he does that. He plays bass guitar whilst his feet are going up and down on the bass drum and the hi-hat.
Hi-hat, yeah, and he sings backing vocals. So that was the idea. That's how that came about, because he kind of just went off for 2 months. And we were like, well, we're starting to actually get gigs and half-decent ones. So, yeah, we played at this Springfest and met all the organisers of Cambridge Rock Festival. And that was the start, really, for us, because everybody was like, wow, you guys, you've got something. And, you know, we were starting, but it was really like, oh, okay, let's do this, basically. So that was really, really nice. And they were, like, the first ones behind us, and then they gave us a slot at the Rock Festival as well, which was great. And yeah,
suddenly
so
realise
really
you're cool,
cool,
don't you?
I know. No. We're not cool.
Yeah, you are. You just don't know.
Loads of people think you do. Loads of people think you are. It sounds like you just sort of stumbled into it then. Like, oh, I just started writing songs. Was it kind of a dream beforehand to get in a band? Or were you just kind of like, we're quite good?
Not for me, personally. No. I didn't think that I would end up doing this. But I'm from an acting background. So is Griff.
Oh, right.
But he was always in bands with his brother years ago, you know, when they were teenagers doing the working men's clubs and all of that in South Wales. And so I'd never really written a song apart from for my GCSE and A-level music, I don't think, until we met. So, but he'd always been writing songs, and even when he was working as an actor, he'd always have his, you know, touring the UK in Shakespeare plays and stuff, he'd always have his guitar with him. And so, yeah, when we met, he really inspired me, and I've learnt a lot from writing songs.
There's
with,
a natural.
With Griff. Yeah.
Is it? I mean, because you're a couple, is that where there is a natural link? Even in your voices when you sing together, there's just a sort of you're in tune with each other. There's just a way. Did that happen right at the start? Did you realise? Hang on a minute. This is really very good.
I think. Well, actually, before we had written a song, we were just playing some covers and seeing if we could, completely change them and make them into something else. We did, like, a cover version of Rihanna. I think there's an Umbrella. It's still on YouTube somewhere.
job for the weekend there, then, Booth.
Yep. It's very poptastic. But, so, you know, that's what we started doing, and that's why we got that covers job. because we were doing that basically, and we wanted to work together. That was the point. So,
wow.
Now we don't work together apart from in Fred's house. So
that's good fun. It's good fun. Mark and the boys say you've got loads of fans in the Weekend Waffle. Even if our show is past your bedtime. It's not past their bedtime, Mark. They're just getting started. 11 till 1 in the morning. That's, well, halfway through the first set, aren't you, at that point?
Yeah.
Vicky's in the houses.
Vicky's in the house.
I think that's what you're supposed
Vicky's
to say, isn't it?
Vicky's in the house. Fred's, though. Our house.
No, just in the round house. Yeah, there we go. That was a track off of the album. And you were saying that's one of your favourites.
Yeah.
Got to say,
I
it's
like
one
that
of mine.
Because I didn't write it.
Oh, really?
Well, out of interest, which one did you write? Or ones?
which ones?
Griff and I wrote I'm Not Saying. And Griff wrote, what's it called? This Little Boy.
Oh, and yeah, we played that the other day.
We wrote, Griff and I wrote Last Thing I Wanted as well. Lockie wrote Looking Glass and Wrong Time.
Just out of personal interest, because yes. I'm going to play it in a minute, or a little bit. Someone Else's Road. Who wrote that? Because that's my favourite Fred's House track.
Oh. Griff wrote that one.
Did he?
On his own.
Yeah. No offence, Vic. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Anyway, what's happening? What are you doing? You're going places, doing gigs. You said you've got a couple coming up tomorrow.
Yes, we've got two tomorrow.
Oh, night. No. Bank holiday, busy weekend.
Yeah. No rest for the wicked. I'm hoping my voice holds out.
You'll be fine.
You sound okay.
Do I?
Yes.
That's good. It's only like 24 minutes past eight. So.
If you sound great now, you'll be fine.
Well, she's had a hot cross bun. There's cinnamon in there. That's
exactly.
Medicinal.
There
it's
is,
medicinal.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
You've supplied me with cake and coffee, so I'm good.
You'll be fine. Sorry, so talking gigs.
Yes, gigs. Where yes. can we go see you?
Well, tomorrow we're playing in Ely. It's Eel Day. So that's
is that
exciting.
Right? Okay.
So, we're playing up there at 1 o'clock. And then later on in the day, we're playing at Stortford Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
Dan
Bishop Stortford, yeah.
Yes, lots of people going over there, I think.
Know. We're really excited because we're playing on the main stage. And then, like, there's a band on after us. And then the band on after them is Uncle Funk. And then the Choir Boys. So they've given us a really nice slot.
You're in the big league. Or you're just on that edge of being in. Don't forget all your friends in Cambridge when you get big. When we turn up and go, hi, Vicky. No, I don't know them.
No, don't be ridiculous.
And then a busy summer coming up?
Yeah. Yeah, June, end of June, July. It's getting pretty busy. August, we've got a few more sort of bookings penciled in that hopefully will get confirmed. So, yeah, it's busy. We've got bookings up till November, so...
Wow.
I don't know when I'm going to have a holiday yet. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about
that. How do you juggle it? Because you are working full-time as well as... Everything,
yeah.
All Fred's House stuff on top.
Yeah, but Fred's House stuff is really, really fun. So
it's
even
not work.
Though, yeah, it's, even though it's tiring, you know, and you do give a lot of your energy to it, it doesn't feel like hard work. So it's good.
Now the single was released a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was along at the Boathouse that night. Seemed to get away. We knew it was going to get a great reception. People love you, but the place was full. They love it when you say.
Yeah.
That's available on iTunes.
It is. Yep.
Anywhere else people
go
can
and
get
download it? If you don't have iTunes, then you can download it on Amazon. So just go to their site and type in "Fine Life Fred's House." Should pop up.
Fantastic. Yeah. And the album, the next album, we've got Looking Glass at the moment. We're just about to give a copy of this away. Another album?
We're working on it. We've got four songs in the can. So we need to keep writing a few more songs. We need to build up our band kitty again now because we've spent it all.
Oh, right.
it just takes time.
So between the two of you, are you copious writers of songs? Is it like a song an evening type? Or do you throw a load of stuff away and go, stick that in a folder? Or do you just write gems like the ones we've got on here?
Yeah, no, obviously we've written a lot more songs than the ones you've actually ever heard. Mm. Some are half finished, some, you know, are choruses that we go, I quite like that, but we don't seem to get the impetus to finish it or whatever. So it goes away, we don't forget about it. And then sometimes you just go, oh, do you remember that song? I've actually thought some... verse lyrics or whatever. I had this idea or that idea.
What's your favourite lyric you've ever written?
I don't know. I couldn't say. I really don't know.
That's a really horrible question.
No one's ever asked me that question.
It's all about the music. All about the lyrics.
Perhaps we could get people to suggest lines, and we'll collect all those lines together.
Don't you ever feel that you want to
send them to you, write a song?
Something ridiculous in a song, though. No.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's about all the ways not to kill yourself.
yeah,
So, you know, we quite like those lyrics just because they were quite fun. When we were writing the chorus, we were like, can we say that?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Actually, I don't care. Yeah, let's, yeah. Let's say it.
It's your song. It's your
exactly.
Song. All right, well, look, time to give away this copy of Fred's House latest CD. It's called Looking Glass. It's got some great tracks and some lovely artwork. Who's your artwork person?
That was a photo that there's a lady called...
Joanna Lane?
Joanna Lane, yep. She's based in Folkestone, so she's a fantastic photographer, but unfortunately we just can't really get down there to use her as much as we'd like. But that was a photo that she took, I think, on her iPhone, actually.
As you do.
Amazing.
But we really like it because it's a picture against a window, and these are all the raindrops on the window, and you can see the reflections of the little houses outside.
Right, I'm going to go and sit and stare at this picture now.
I was going to say, I did not notice that.
That's what it is.
All right. Doesn't make good radio, though, to be honest.
No,
it doesn't. You can't
everyone's
hear
going,
staring,
so what the hell does that look like?
Oh, yeah, no, it does. It's beautiful.
Well, one lucky winner's about to find out what it looks like because we've got a signed copy. It's not just signed by you, it's signed by all the band.
Yep.
So well done. Thank you for that. Everyone's just been texting their names and a few late entries going, make sure you got my name, including Geraldine. Geraldine appears to be
morning,
in the studio.
Morning, Geraldine.
Yeah, so she appears to be in the studio sat next
she
to me.
She is not.
Oh, is she not?
Well,
okay.
I don't know who she
You've
is.
Not got your own signed copy,
no,
then?
I All right,
okay.
Well, I haven't met Vicky before.
Vicky, can you give me a number between 1 and 17?
10.
Number 10 is Kath. Should
well
be pleased
Kath.
With that.
Morning, it's, Kath.
It's my birthday, that one, so...
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well done, thank you. So I'm going to get Vicky to sign this over to Kath with a C.
There we go.
That pen probably won't work, but there
yeah,
you go. Welcome
we'll
to
find you a
welcome
pen.
To Cambridge 105. And we'll get that over to you, Kath. So well done. So excellent. That's been good, isn't it?
Yes.
Listen, she's busy signing, can't you?
I'll give you one another time.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
Oh. Can I have kisses in mine?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Listen, love it. Well done on bringing the single out. It's on the Cambridge 105 official playlist. It's getting plenty
Thank
of airplay.
Thank you
airplay.
For that.
No,
that's so kind of you.
It's a great tune.
We
it's
love
a great
playing
tune.
It.
We love seeing you in concert. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for being around. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Hope it all goes well. Don't forget us
thank
when you,
you
get
no,
big.
Don't forget
us. Hope you feel better and good luck in your gigs tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's Vicky from Fred's House. Do we have one last Fred's House track?
Yeah, this is my favourite one, Someone Else's Road.
Go on,
which was written by Griff. But Vicky sings on it. It's very good.
I've lived here 3 years, it's the same. Still nobody knows my name. The cracks in my front door are telling me.